the errant, infallible, inspired word of Almighty God. This is a trustworthy statement, and concerning these things, I want you to speak confidently so that those who have believed God may be careful to engage in good deeds. These things are good and profitable for men, but shun foolish controversies and genealogies and strife and disputes about the law, for they are unprofitable and worthless. Reject a factious man after a first and second warning, knowing that such a man is perverted and is sinning, being self-condemned. When I send Artemas or Tychicus to you, make every effort to come to me at Nicopolis, for I have decided to spend the winter there. Diligently help Zenas, the lawyer, and Apollos on their way so that nothing is lacking for them. And let our people also learn to engage in good deeds, to meet pressing needs, that they may not be unfruitful. All who are with me greet you. Greet those who love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. Well, the title of the sermon is simply this, Engage in Good Deeds. I hope you remember that early on I had said something along these lines, that there are primarily two themes that run through the book of Titus. The first one has to do with sound doctrine, and the second one has to do with Christian conduct. Well, today's message is a lot about Christian conduct, engaging in good deeds. In fact, the text says, be careful to engage in good deeds. And so good deeds are extremely important. Well, what is a good deed? Well, it's doing something for someone and doing it with the right motive. That's the same definition for a good work. If you do research on the subjects of good deeds or good works, you'll find out that the motive is equally important as the deed that you're doing. If we do it for the wrong motive, it doesn't qualify. It disqualifies for a good deed or a good work, because the right motive has to be there as well as the deed itself. If we don't do it with the right motive, then we're probably doing it to draw attention to ourselves and doing it for the purpose of hoping others will look at us and say, what a wonderful person that is. Look at what they're doing. And a lot of times we hear of some who are extremely wealthy giving to good causes, but if they're not born again of the Spirit of God and do it for the glory of God and the good of those that they're giving it to with that right motive, then it's something good that they do, but it does not qualify as a good work or as a good deed. Well, turn with me for a moment back to chapter 1 on these two themes. I want to get us to remember these from the text itself. First of all, chapter 1, verse number 9, and this follows on the qualifications for elders. And all of us who are elders in the church, ordained ministers or ruling elders, whatever the case, as long as we are elders, then this verse must be true of us. We are to holding fast the faithful word, which is in accordance with the teaching, that he or the elder may be able both to exhort in sound doctrine and refute those who contradict. So elders need to be men of the word, and the only way to do that is to spend a lot of time in it, to study it, to learn it, to be willing to be under its teaching and under its preaching, and this is how we get to know the word. I'm amazed at how much down the road the Lord has brought me from the time he caused me to be born again. Because when that happened, when I was 25 years old, I knew next to nothing about God's word. And it's amazing to me now, I can look back and see how he has caused me to progress in my knowing and understanding of his word by spending a whole lot of time in it and being instructed in it. And so that's how we get it. You don't get it by putting it under your pillow at night and waking up the next morning and concluding, I know everything in the Bible. Well, it just doesn't work that way. You have to spend time in it. And so it is. We are to be men who can exhort in sound doctrine and refute those who contradict. Well, drop down to verse 16. They, and he got into the area there of false teachers, they profess to know God, but by their deeds they deny him, being detestable and disobedient and worthless for any good deed. So he brings up these two subjects, both of them right there in chapter 1, sound doctrine and good deeds. Well, in chapter 2, verse 1, as for you, speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine. So he continues to hammer away with these two concepts all the way through the book. And I'm going through this to remind us of it. Chapter 2, verse 7, he gets both of these concepts in that one verse, verse 7. In all things, show yourself, and he's speaking now to Titus, the pastor. In all things, show yourself to be an example of good deeds with purity in doctrine, dignified, sound in speech, so forth and so on. So the preacher is to be an example of doing good deeds, as well as to be one who is pure in doctrine or committed to and espouses sound doctrine or biblical truth. That's what sound doctrine is. We'll drop down to verse 14 in chapter 2. Speaking of Jesus, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. So not only are we to be careful to engage in good deeds, we are to be zealous for good deeds. Okay, chapter number 3. Again, verse number 1, remind them to be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good deed. Drop down to verse 5. He saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. And so he told Titus in verse 1 of chapter 3, remind them of these things. And we are reminded that it is he who saved us. It is he who has changed us. It is he who has brought us out of darkness into his marvelous light. It is he who has made us new creatures in Christ. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. And because of this, because we are new creatures in Christ, because we have been born again, we are to be, and again, the text in verse 8, this is a trustworthy statement, and concerning these things, I want you to speak confidently so that those who have believed God may be careful to engage in good deeds. These things are good and profitable for men. And then verse 14 of that same chapter 3, and let our people also learn to engage in good deeds to meet pressing needs, that they may not be unfruitful. And so again, these two themes in the book of Titus, biblical truth, sound doctrine, should lead and encourage us to engage and be careful to engage and be zealous to engage in good deeds, doing good things for others with the right motive. Well, obviously, there are a couple of things that are at the top, I believe, of the Lord's list for those of us who are new creatures in Christ. It's a good deed to love others, and that's at the top of his list. You can read about that, John 13, 34, and 35. He told his disciples, I've got to go away. You can't come now. You can come later, but here's what I want you to do while we are apart from one another. I want you to love others even as I have loved you. And this is the way the world will, you know, you're my disciples if you have love one for another. That's extremely important, and it's a good deed. In fact, one of the best deeds you can do is to love other people. Another thing is to forgive others. And we're told in Ephesians 4, verse 30 through 32, put all anger and bitterness and wrath and malice and all that, put that aside and forgive each other just like God in Christ has forgiven you. And that means to do it even if they don't ask for it. Some will say, well, if they would just ask me to forgive them, I'd do it. Well, guess what? You ought to do it anyway. And you're not hurting anyone but yourself if you don't. If you carry around that bitterness and resentment, it will just eat you internally, and that's not going to be good. So those who wrong you, forgive them whether they ask you to or not. That's how the Lord has forgiven us, and he does it. How has he forgiven us? Totally and completely. Totally and completely. Well, it's a good deed to be kind to others. It's a good deed to encourage other people and to build them up. It's a good deed to help others. It's a good deed to serve others. It's a good deed to pray for others. It's a good deed to attend church. It really is. Our Lord takes notice, and everyone else does too. And Hebrews 10 tells us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, which is the habit of some, but to draw near, and all the more as the day draws near. So that's a good thing, to attend and to invite others and to bring others with us. That too is a good deed. It's a good deed to teach the word to other people. And we have three people in our midst who do that faithfully every Lord's Day in Sunday school. And it's a tremendous good deed that they do. And those of us who sit under their teaching are blessed as a result of it. It's a good deed to engage in music if you have the ability. And we have some who do. And we are thankful when they share that with us. And that is a good deed. We have elders who serve us and are our spiritual overseers and leaders, and that's a good deed that they do. It's a good deed to be involved in this meal like we're going to have December 18th. Good deed for those who set up and clean up. It's a good deed for those who coordinate it. It's a good deed that you do when you bring something to share with others. All of these things are indeed good deeds. We're going to elect, Lord willing, a treasurer for next year. And again, the session's recommending that we elect Charlie again. He does an excellent job. And I want to tell you, that's not an easy task. It's a time-consuming task. He has to pick up the tithes and offerings. He has to take those to the bank and deposit them. He has to get the receipt. He has to log that in the ledger book. He has to write checks to pay all the bills. He has to balance that at the end of the month. He has to submit a financial report to the session that we review in every session minute meeting that we have. And that is a lot of work. And then toward the end of the year, he has to give us that statement concerning our tithes and offerings through the year if we want to use that for tax purposes. When we fill out those forms for April 15, we need a record of that those contributions, and he provides that as well. Well, it's a good deed for those who host the women's Bible study on Thursday, and the one who leads the study time. Those are good deeds. And the list goes on. It's a good deed when you provide cookies for others, like your pastor and others. And I know that others have received cookies as well. It's a good deed when you give your pecans or pecans, whichever way you want to say it, to other people, as you have done last week and again this week. And the list goes on. It's a good deed. Those who put together the bulletin for us and keep up with those announcements and keep up with those birthdays. It's a good deed for those who put together the prayer list that we have, and we can carry that with us all during the week and refer to it and pray about all those things during the week, for a week, at least if you're like me. I can't remember all that. It's a good thing we get a copy, and it's good for me, and I use it, and I share with you that and encourage you to do the same. It's a good deed when you call someone who may not be here to let them know that you love them and you miss them. It's a good deed when you follow up with those who have had surgery and you call them and ask how it's going and say a prayer with them on the phone. That's encouraging and comforting to them. We need to let people know that we do indeed love them and miss them when they're not here. We don't want them to feel like they're not part of the group, so to speak. And that's a good way to keep in touch and even to visit and to go by and visit with people who need that. And I can tell you, I know that there are those who really do appreciate that. And it's a big encouragement to them. It's a good deed when you bear witness of Christ to other people and share with them. It may be a verse, it may be a track, it may be a conversation, whatever it is, that's biblical truth. You're communicating to another person. That is indeed a good deed. And so I'm thankful and glad to be in a church where a lot of good deeds are being engaged in. And some of these good deeds that we do corporately, for example, we contribute to the Samaritan's Purse through the Christmas shoebox ministry. And it's a good deed that Bobby does to provide the boxes for us. It's a good deed for those of us who fill up the boxes and bring them in. It's a good deed for those who take those full boxes and deliver them to where they need to go. It's a good deed when we give $10 per box to Samaritan's Purse to help them and enable them to distribute those to the ends of the earth where they go. And it's certainly a good deed to that child and their family who are on the receiving end of all of that. And there's a number of salvation messages in those boxes for the children and for their families. These are indeed good deeds. It's a good deed that we do when we contribute monthly to the Samaritan's Kitchen to help feed those who are hungry and in need of food. It's a good deed when you bring in those empty egg cartons and additional food to give to Charlie and Nancy for them to deliver. It's a good deed that they do to deliver those to where they need to go. It's a good deed that we do, and Lord willing, we'll do next Lord's Day when we bring in these food items for the West Wilkes High School pantry. It's also a good deed, and if you'll notice next week when we approve the budget, I trust you'll have one inserted into your bulletin. You'll have opportunity to look at that before our congregational meeting. And during the congregational meeting, after the motion is made and it's a second to approve it, there'll be time for discussion or question and answer if you have any of that. But one item you'll notice on there is a $400 line item to the West Wilkes High School pantry. And you might ask, well, we bring in the food, why do we have money to give as well? Well, we do that to support their outreach ministry. Once a month, the Christian students who are in the group reach out to students who are not in the group and invite them to this monthly meeting where they serve cake and ice cream and cookies and whatever else they serve. And they need money to pay for those items. And so we give them gift cards that they can purchase these items for those monthly outreach meetings. And these things are extremely important. And so, good deeds. We do all of this. And it's a good deed when you contribute financially to Covenant Presbyterian Church. It takes money to do ministry. And the church depends on the tithes and offerings of its people to pay the bills and to do the things that's needed and necessary. So that's a good deed. It's a good deed when you give, if you do, to these annual or special offerings, I should say, to the ARP, once around the Easter time and another one toward the end of the year. If you want to contribute to that, it's a good deed. And those monies go to help in particular areas. Well, we are to be careful to engage in good deeds. These things are good and profitable for men. But he tells us on the other side what not to do, verse 9 and verse 10. Shun foolish controversies and genealogies and strife and disputes about the law. Now, when I was at Reformed Theological Seminary, we had a professor who had written a book about the law of God. And it was a controversial book, and he was a controversial professor. And some of our students, and I was one of those who I did fine through ordination exam, but when I made my first move from the presbytery I was ordained in to the next presbytery where I served, there were some older men in that presbytery who were really anti-RTS graduates because they had kind of pigeonholed all of us and labeled us theonomists because we had studied under this particular professor who had written a book on the subject about the law of God. And so I was grilled on that subject. And I finally had to tell him, look, we have a chapter in the Westminster Confession of Faith on the subject of the law of God. That's what I believe. And that's when you were ordained, that's what you said you believe. So you need to quit raking me over the coals about this because we believe the same thing on that subject. And so that kind of quieted the house on that. We moved on to other things. But the law of God does sometimes become controversial among Christian people. And so this is telling us don't get involved with controversies about that, with genealogies or strife or disputes about the law. That's just unprofitable. That's worthless to argue about those things. You can study those things. You can ask questions about those things. You can get instruction about those things. But don't waste your time arguing about them. Try to understand them and embrace the truth that's there. And I recommend that you get that copy of the Westminster Confession of Faith and read that chapter on the subject of the law of God. And hopefully you will conclude like I did, that's what I believe about it. And that would be a good thing. Well, verse 10 says, reject a factious man. One who's contentious, one who's given to strife, one who causes division. Reject that man after a first and second warning. You can warn him once or twice. And I had a friend, again, seminary, we were senior year, and I had to go to this friend and say to him, we're going to be graduating before long, and I'm sure you will be ordained just as I'm confident I will be. But I got to say this to you, and I want you to know I say it in love. If you're not careful with your attitude, you're going to cause division in the first church you go to. You're argumentative. It's your way or the highway. And you need to be more compassionate and more gentle and more kind and more of those things. And sure enough, he was in that first church maybe a couple of years, and there was a division in the church. And so some men are factious types. And if you warn them a first and second time, then it says, know that such a man is perverted and sinning, being self-condemned. And so you don't need to buddy around with guys like that. That'll get you in trouble. Well, he concludes by going on to say to Titus, when I send Artemas or Tychicus to you, make every effort to come to me at Nicopolis, for I have decided to spend the winter there. Diligently help Zenas, the lawyer, and Apollos on their way so that nothing is lacking for them. Let all of our people also learn to engage in good deeds, to meet pressing needs, that they may not be unfruitful. And then he sends greetings from those who are with him. The book of Titus, biblical truth, sound doctrine, and engaging carefully, zealously in doing good deeds, serving others, doing good for others, Christian conduct. Let's bow our heads for just a moment of prayer. God, our Heavenly Father, again, we thank you.